12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We say hello to our pal Jonathan Hutton, who is presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. And of course, you can hear him 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan as a part of Outkick 360. Hut, how you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Look, the Titans are 0-2 right now. Yesterday, the sky was falling. Turns out the sun came up. Today, as Titans fans continue to recover, but things do not look pretty right now, and I want to start with one person in particular. If, in fact, Taylor Lewan is out for the season, even though I would say he has been less than perfect in two games or really, you know, one and a quarter of a game this year, how big of a blow is that to an already questionable offensive line?
Chase, it's a massive issue because they have a second-round pick from 2021 that isn't even good enough to see the field last week when he goes down. They traded for a guy that Carolina was going to cut and put Daly at left tackle and then ran a toss sweep to Henry behind him, which was not good. It's not an ideal situation. It's something that, you know, also ideally they would have prepared better for because Lewan hasn't played a full season since 2017, and they're in a predicament. They've done this the last couple of seasons where they've had to play musical chairs a bit on the offensive line, and to their credit, they have made it work. They were able to run the football last year when Henry went down. They still had some injuries. Guys were banged up. But the cohesion, the fit, all of that gets rearranged a bit. And then the depth that, at least on paper, they should have based on draft picks, they do not have. And that's a glaring issue. And D-Mace, I thought of you last week when I'm watching this game Monday night at camp whenever you said that Raidens isn't, he's not, you know, in competing for a starting job. He's probably not good enough to be on the roster. And he was in as like an extra tackle on a jumbo package. That's the only time I saw him.
Yeah, I just didn't think. And he's I think the only reason he's on his team, Jonathan, is because they just don't have anything else. And it's almost just by, hey, you're here just because we don't have anybody that can come in and take your job. That's the only reason you're on this team. They would never say that, but a guy you drafted in the second round, you've tried him at right tackle, it didn't work. You don't even want to put him in at left tackle, and he's been on the team 2 years. You'd rather, you know, defer to someone else that just got here. That speaks volumes.
I agree. And this, I think we all knew when they whiffed on Isaiah Wilson that missing that much on a player that didn't even want to be in the locker room, they didn't want him around their vets. They sent him home. When they whiff that much on that pick, at some point it comes back around to bite you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was an off season where I'm not even sure Lewan knew if he was going to be on the Titans roster based on the money and the cap space and everything. And they decide to get rid of Saffold, and we know that what he's doing in Buffalo. But point being, if Lewan is done, they have to go out and find some pieces that are not easy to find at this time of the year. And the pieces and solutions that they have should have been through the draft. And the fact that Daly's at left tackle immediately, that's not a great sign because Raidens is an interior swing guy at this point, and he should be a solution. And the fact that we can't list him as that, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, it is. Now, Jonathan, do you believe that this roster, the way it's constructed this year, it's good enough? Now, they may win the AFC South just because the AFC South is not good. I mean, to me, the best team in the last 2 weeks has been Jacksonville. And they find themselves, I believe, 1-1. But do you think this roster is good enough to really compete for a playoff spot if they were in any other division?
Well, so let's start here. Let's start at the end of how you phrased the question. Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with how you're phrasing this, but my point of contention this offseason has been there's a window of opportunity not just to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. but to contend for titles. And there was a huge whiff and opportunity missed after the 2020 season when Baltimore came to town and the offense, you know, didn't show up. against that defense, and they stopped Derrick Henry, and you needed another solution. They didn't have it. Last year, somehow you survive all those injuries. You win 12 games. You get the number one seed, home field throughout, and you sack Burrow 9 times, and we know what happened offensively in that game. Opportunity missed. So the fact that we're even discussing through 2 weeks, is this roster built to make the playoffs? This roster should be built to contend for titles. Mm-hmm. And they're not in the same sentence as that right now. So I feel like that's almost taking it easy on a team that should be felt and looked at differently than how they're looked at right now leaving Buffalo. Losing to the Giants, okay, in a week one, bad teams win in week one. Good teams can rebound off of 0-2 as well. But the way they lost against the upper echelon, many would say the Super Bowl contender, and they've done nothing but back it up. Buffalo has started the season the way Super Bowl contenders start. They've knocked off back-to-back teams that won 12 games a year ago. The Titans have so many questions and issues that's the biggest issue. You can't pick just one right now. And it's a window that people are saying that's open. I think, you know, it's headed towards being closed with this era, this group of talent, and it may be slammed shut by the time we get to October if they don't turn things around and figure things out. They have a lot of things to get pushed in the right direction right now.
Now, Jonathan, Chase asked this question yesterday, and it was a really good question.
I ask good questions sometimes.
He said, is it the head coach, the GM, or the evaluators, the scouts, that we should start eventually blaming for this roster? Because obviously the scouts, they go out and scout these players. The GM then has to make a decision along with the head coach to which players we cut, which players we go out and try to draft or bring in a free agency, or which players do we keep? And it seems like that there's this disconnect, because you brought in multiple injured guys that you wanted to be a big part of this team. You've drafted guys that haven't shown up, Caleb Farley, Raidens. We can go down the line with these guys. So who should get the most blame? And I know the player, they should come in and they should be ready to play, but eventually you're evaluating these guys, you're deciding to draft them, and then you're coaching them.
Well, the real answer is no one's getting the blame after 2 games, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they should have the opportunity to turn things around.
Exactly.
And last week I'll answer this, but last week I tweeted, there are reasons that even with an 0-2 start, I still believe in what's in place. Number one's Vrabel. He did it last year. He was able to win with far less talent than where he started from last year. Number two would be Simmons and Byard and Dupree. And I don't know what's up with Dupree. We'll find out more. But Vrabel at least said he doesn't think it's long-term. And then there's Henry, which they have to figure out how to get him sparked and going early and often. And they failed at that in September since 2019. He's got to get going this week. And then finally, it's the AFC South, which you pointed to earlier. But here's the real answer, in if we're sitting here around Thanksgiving and you're asking the same thing. You can pick your poison here, because if you want to go draft, I don't disagree with the return on investment that they've made. Caleb Farley versus Trey Avery, who they're matching up. And I'm not even matching up, but they get caught with Trey Avery on Stephon Diggs, who went off against them. Try trotting Trey Avery out there this week against Adams. Side commentary. But then you know, they trade away AJ Brown. I mean, to me, that's the one thing and the piece that you can point to today that they got wrong. They desperately need AJ Brown for this season, and they got rid of him. Other teams figured out a way to keep their stars. Some people would say, "Oh, AJ was going to fake a knee issue and not practice." Well, guys figure out how to show up and play whenever it's time to get paid during the season. And even guys that held out of minicamp ended up getting something. They gave Derrick Henry a $2 million raise. The other thing, too, though, is for those that say, well, Vrabel, you know, coaches up the talent, he also is responsible for bringing back coaches on his staff that we all have questions about and that he's already receiving questions about. Mm-hmm. News Channel 5 did a piece on a fire Todd Downing post yesterday at 6 o'clock. It's week three. So, you know, we can also point that direction. Mm-hmm. We can point to Ryan Tannehill and the salary that kept them a bit hamstrung this offseason. There are a lot of things, Mace, but right now it's way too early to go all in chips on the table with blame, but they have created such a steep hill to climb out of. No matter the division that they're in, the way they're playing, they're not winning many football games against bad teams with the way they're playing. That's the biggest issue.
He is Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360 joining us every Wednesday at noon. We'll have more with Hutton coming up next. He's presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is the go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Jonathan Hutton brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. We'll have more with Hutton coming up next. But first, you know, I love Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It is my go-to when I am out and about with my friends. I like it as a chilled shot. You can have it on the rocks. You can have it any way you like. You can have a peanut butter old-fashioned, an espresso martini. It doesn't matter. There are a ton of recipes. Just go to screwballwhiskey.com, and you can learn more about this fantastic peanut butter whiskey. It's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world, and it's an original just like me, just like the suit. It's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and of course, real whiskey, and it goes down oh so smooth. So when you're out and about with your friends and you're looking for a great drink, do like I do. Ask for it by name. Say, I want a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Also do like I do. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're talking to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. You can join him weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan for Outkick 360. But also, Hut, coming up this Sunday after the Raiders game, excited about this, NFL postgame. It'll be live at the Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook inside the Margaritaville on Broadway. You and Chad Withrow going to anchor that coverage after the Titans game. Looking forward to that.
It really is Nash Vegas inside of Landshark Sports Bar and Grill. It's the second floor at Margaritaville on Broadway. And when you go in there, there are TVs, but also like up in the ceiling and circling the entire second floor are just multiple screens with every game. And we're going to have a big scoreboard show, NFL postgame, and discuss Titans Raiders, among other things. And Chase, I believe we hope to go live right around 4 o'clock, right?
That is the plan. We will go live about 20, 30 minutes after the game is over. We'll get the limo over to the stadium for you and Chad, yep. And you know, get you over.
No. The party bus, not a limo.
The party bus. But look, Nashville, you've been asking. And I've got him on two stations now, so acknowledge me. Willie?
All right. Hutt, what do we think of this? The Titans, since getting, you know, carved up in the secondary on Monday, and I try to keep perspective. That's the Bills' offense. Yeah. The Bills are a juggernaut, and they have been carving up a lot of really, really good defenses going back to last year. But the Titans have made two moves to address the secondary in the last 24-plus hours. So what do you make of that?
I think they're trying to find extra depth, Willie. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think they look at their starting group as anything they're changing over. You know, I think we could point to Farley and say, why is he not in there more? And there are certain snaps. That even on just watching on TV, I wasn't in Buffalo. Watching on TV, you can tell Farley's not in the game. That it's bizarre. You know, and I think it's more or less the depth with Fulton and how long he's going to be out, when he can get back in, the whole thing. Because if they're one more injury down, they're in a world of hurt there, just like they are on the offensive line, until we know the definitive status of LaJuan. So But, hey, I'm thinking about this whenever you brought up the Bills' offense. Ultimately, like, the Titans' defense can get them so far. The offense is going to have to match some teams score for score. I think about the Chiefs-Bills game last year where the Chiefs advanced because Mahomes had the football first, just to make it simple. The Bills had a great defense last year. It did not matter in the playoffs. The best quarterbacks come to play, and they spin it to top wideouts. And the Titans can control the clock if they can run it, but at some point, you got to put up some points outside of your opening drive. But they're very good at scoring opening drive this year, and that's pretty much it. So I'm not as focused on the defense through this 0-2 start because I think looking at that game, it wasn't even a 17-point lead until 10 minutes to go third quarter, and then the game got really out of hand. So I think the secondary can hold up so much, Willie, until at some point the offense needs to hold possession of the football and go down and match a score that Josh Allen is able to produce.
And we have had the debate, and I can remember having a very similar debate as Eddie George got up there in age. It's, is it Eddie or is it the line? And we know the answer is a combination, but I have to say I'm a little concerned that even when there is some daylight for Derrick Henry, can he be the same guy that dominates? And because it's one thing to gamble. You can go back through the tape. There's a lot of plays where they turn and hand it to him, and by the time he gets possession of the ball, there's two guys right on him. It's a poorly blocked play. But the difference might be, and this is what I'm looking for in the coming weeks, if you miss on that first wave and he gets going, not only is he going to have a good gainer, it's going to be game-breaking kind of stuff, dominating kind of stuff. That's what we haven't seen yet, and this would be a great week for it. But I'm a little concerned. Can he still get to that gear?
That's to me, that answer determines whether or not they climb out of this hole. Because unless it's play action and there's some threat of Henry taking the football, that the Titans aren't moving the football. They did not have a play over 20 yards last week. There's no explosion to this offense. That's in week one, they led the NFL with 7 passes for over 20 yards. And that includes run after the catch. But Tannehill had 0 on Monday night. That made him just 1 of 3 quarterbacks that started games who failed to have a 20-yard play offensively. So I mean, there are red flags. The one thing that they can't have is for their run game not to produce, because it even produced without Henry last year. So they have to get that going. And by the way, you mentioned the negative yards. Henry had 5 carries of negative yards on Monday. That's the most in a game where he's played with Ryan Tannehill. So we saw that far too often against the Bills. So it's a combination of things, and that's the issue. I'm with you. I haven't seen the same explosion early on. I saw it in practice. I mean, you can watch him in practice, and he looks healthy. There are other times where I think he hesitates at the line, and I'm being the armchair quarterback and the sofa coach right now. But there are times on Monday where I thought he hesitated at the line instead of just hitting the hole. I also think they're trying, I mentioned earlier, they're doing that toss sweep behind Dennis Daly where a guy misses a block. A lot of things don't add up. I think they just need to get back to the bread and butter, full steam ahead, churn ahead, and just let him go. He's about bulk carries. He barely got double-digit carries against the Bills.
Well, they're going to have to simplify things moving forward, Jonathan, and they're going to have to max protect, because that's the only reason, that's the only way I feel they're going to be able to get this offense and this running game going. One phase of the game that I did want to ask you about is the special teams. And I know along with Downing, people are calling for Ackerman to be fired as well. But the way I look at it, totally different from a special team standpoint. When he inherited a job, there was this flux at place kicker. And they've been trying for years to get that one guy. And they thought they have it, and they believe they have it in Bullock. Obviously, he misses the field goal against the Giants. But as a whole, I don't think this special teams unit is as bad as what people believe it is. I know Phillips muffed and fumbled two kicks, and I know he caught one inside the 8. But he is averaging over 12 yards per punt return. So he is the best punt returner that they have, and he's one of the best in the National Football League at this point.
You know better than me on this, Derek, but I look at the two muffs from week one and week two totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Last Monday, his shoulder, I mean, he was questionable to begin with. He looked a bit stiff even when he was in the game. Like, I think that played more of a factor than anything else on Monday night. Maybe I'm totally wrong. The other thing in week one, he just said he took his eye off of it and needs to be more focused. But I would stick with him at least for another game. If he does it again, then it's, I mean, at some point you've got to put someone out there that's sure-handed while you figure out what the issue is with him. But, I mean, Vrabel doesn't talk about individual players much at all during camp, and he all but handed Phillips the return job after game two of the preseason. That's how dominant he was, or good he was, in that role. So what I hope this doesn't turn into is a Dory Jackson,
mm-hmm.
where we saw a guy do it in college. We know he's athletically gifted, but for whatever reason, it was, you know, you mentioned the kicker and how that's kind of a mental process too. That's what a Dory became at punt return. And eventually they got to a point where they just stopped putting him out there. We're far from that, but we're talking a lot about issues and not many solutions. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it does, it does become a, I think you're hitting on this. It's a good point, Jonathan, that it starts becoming a mental hurdle. I mean, he's going to be thinking about it the next time there's one, because, you know, you could see it. It was a little bit unsure of himself as he approached the ball. I do wonder if the shoulder bothered him as he caught it. But when you've missed two, and you know if you miss one more, I mean, you're fortunate to be out there, and you know you're one away from probably losing your job at that. It's going to be a mental problem as well as a physical.
Well, and it's, I mean, in that game, it's difficult to get the Bills to punt. As it is, we mentioned that stat.
Yes, they don't punt very much.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the one thing you can't do is if they punt one time in the game, don't muff the punt on the return. you know, that's in great field position, and then it happened again with Hooker, who's also a very reliable guy, and then finally I think Woods caught one. It was just – it's amazing thinking about how we would view this team. I'm saying just regionally, fan base, media, if that kick was good against the Giants, and they're 1-1 right now instead of 0-2. I view them through the lens of 0-2 and this hole that they're in. And at 1-1, you at least think, man, that was a terrible performance, the worst of the Vrabel era, but they're behind it, and now they have a bunch of division games coming up. And instead, we're looking at it like they lost to a bad team, which the bad team's also 2-0, and a really good team at 2-0.
Well, okay, so I got about a minute left. Let me ask this, because I think you can make the argument that both the Raiders and the Titans should be 1-1 going into this weekend. They're both 0-2. When you look at the Raiders, led by Josh McDaniels, their first year head coach, I mean, where are some weaknesses that you think you can exploit if you're Vrabel and the Titans?
Well, the matchups, I mean, they need to be able to run the football, no matter who they're playing against. So, like, let's just mention that. That is the Titans' bread and butter. Whoever they're lined up against opposite them, they should win that matchup because they have devoted their entire philosophical ways at the line of scrimmage, and they've paid Henry instead of the wide receiver. So that's number one. They need to win that. Outside of that, if they just play sound fundamental where they're not committing all these penalties, Tannehill's not throwing a terrible pick six, they're not muffing punts, they'll be in this game. The Raiders will allow you to stick around. However, they are also a team that has not been awful on offense. You're going to have to figure out ways to manufacture one-on-one matchups that we saw in week one. The Titans, to their credit, to Downing's credit, figured out a mismatch with Hilliard against the slower linebackers of the Giants. They need to figure out that issue with the Raiders' defense and exploit it on top of actually running the football well, since they pride themselves on it. And they've got to figure out a pass rush if Dupree's not available to go. That goes without saying. They cannot give Carr time to sit back and throw, because with not just Adams, but with Waller and others, it could be a long day. First and foremost, though, Chase, offensively, they just need to get back to what they do best. Mace said it, keep it simple. Simplify yep. things. Mass protect and run the football. That's the game plan. If they do that, they win.
Well, Hutt, we'll be listening 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan, and also excited to have you and Chad as a part of NFL postgame Sunday around 4 o'clock at the Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook inside the Margaritaville on Broadway. Looking forward to that. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Thank you so much.
Jonathan yep. Hutton here with us on the show every Wednesday at noon, and he's presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Blend Bar is in the heart of downtown Nashville. You can visit them today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Coming up next, we'll get more into some of the things that we just discussed with Jonathan Hutton as it comes to the matchup with the Raiders and how the Titans can try and take advantage of that and get off the schneid and get in the win column. We'll do that. Chase Willing, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase Willing, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Of course, you can hear MTSU football on 1025, The Game. We are their official home. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us here on the show. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. So you guys look at this matchup with the Raiders. Both at 0-2, could make the argument both could be 1-1, but that's the NFL. That's how this works sometimes. If you're the Titans, and you guys were just – we were talking about it during the break. If you don't have Bud Dupree – Harold Landry's already out. You're hoping Rashad Weaver can step up even more, but you don't have much of a pass rush. I feel like that Derek Carr is somebody you can get to, you can get pressure on, but how are you going to do that if you don't have an effective pass rush with key guys out?
It's going to be hard to do. That's where, you know, Bowen, he has to earn that money of his, because – now you're down potentially your best two edge rushers. And obviously they were down Harold Landry before the season even started. But now you're down Bud Dupree for who knows how long. So we'll see if he is on the injury report or, you know, come game time, or is he just a game time decision. We'll know that, I'm sure, in the next couple of days. But not having those two guys against this offense, it only spells trouble. That's all it does. It makes already an inept offensive line. I was thinking of Tennessee Titans offensive line. But it already makes a inept secondary. It makes their job even harder, because now right. they don't have the help of a good pass rush to sort of take some of the pressure off of them outside. I didn't understand why Bowen chose to play man-to-man coverage the times that he did versus Buffalo, considering, you know, those guys don't have experience. I couldn't wrap my head. Why would you? Because we always talk about putting players in positions to succeed, right? Well, you didn't put your players in a position to succeed going against Stephon Diggs. I mean, I can
see by playing man to man.
Exactly, by playing man to man, you're not putting them at a advantage. You're putting them at a disadvantage. Hopefully, he doesn't do that again this week.
One of the things I noticed, funny you mentioned that. I was watching the game back last night, and there's a point in time where they pan over to Stephon Diggs, and he is talking about that very thing. Mm-hmm. I was trying to read his lips exactly, but it looked like he mentioned man to man. And the announcers had already talked about that, and he said, "It looked to me like he was." And I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit. I can't prove that this is true, but it looked like he was saying something to the effect of, "They're going man to man. We're going to wear them out." He's like, basically, they cannot cover me. They don't have a guy that can cover me man to man, and that's true. And it's pick your poison. against the Bills. The scary thing is they didn't have Gabe Davis, who is another tremendous player, and the Titans still gave up tons of big chunks. So that's where I would start it, is explosive
you can't do that.
Plays.
You can't do that to Devontae Adams.
You have to try to contain. You're going to have to give up some short stuff, mm-hmm. but you can't give up the big play where they score from the 50 or the 48 or whatever it was. You can't let somebody get behind you. That's death in this league right now. So I would start it from the outside in, and it's going to be tough. If you can't rush the quarterback and you've got a weakness in the secondary, which they do right now, that spells trouble.
Yeah, and look, I mean, to your point, you know, Devontae Adams can burn you just like Stephon Diggs can. I mean, you know, you don't cover him right. And they're bringing in veteran help in the secondary, with whether it's a safety
but it's desperate.
Or a corner.
They're signing guys off practice squads. Those guys aren't going to come in and rescue you.
Sure, sure. I mean, honestly, like, I'm not going to pay him $3.5 million, but at this point, I'd take Jackrabbit Jenkins back.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, that's where they are. You want to talk desperate. That's where I think they are. Now, I wouldn't pay him that much, but they are, and this is what I was saying earlier. I do think they have a lot of young talent. I think Roger McCreary is going to be good. Caleb Farley, I don't know. I don't think Caleb Farley is it. That might be a miss. Mm-hmm. But I think McCreary will be good. You get Elijah Molden back. That's certainly going to help at some point. Well, I know, and that's what I'm getting to. You get him back at some point. Christian Fulton, who knows, you know, what his status is. Do you have time to wait for all that to pan out? I would say the answer is no.
Well, what do you think of this, Derek, as to theories as to why you would have some man-to-man, even though you're looking at Farley against whoever? And, you know, they don't do stuff like, okay, you've got Diggs, you've got the other guy. You know, they're playing a side of the field, but it didn't really matter. But is it harder for young guys? You have rookie McCreary, mm-hmm. rookie Avery, basically a rookie in Farley, hasn't played that much. He's inexperienced. Is it easier for those guys to try to play man, even though it's still a mismatch, as far instead of scheme? Because, like, you would think you'd want to protect those guys by playing more zone, but are those guys, kind of like we talk about with Burks, not versed enough to be able to play the scheme correctly?
I understand what you're saying, Willie, and the premise of what you're saying is right, that they don't. If I put them in man to man, they shouldn't have to think too much. You got the man in front of you. You go wherever he go. It doesn't matter if he runs across the field, out of the stadium, to the park lot, to the restroom. You got him. That premise, I understand that, because now you sort of. I don't have to think about anything else but this man. But they have to have the talent to do that, and the confidence to be mm-hmm. able to do that, and the experience to be able to do that. These guys don't have neither one of those. So you have to put them in zone defense. That's where the communication between Byard, Hooker, and those cornerbacks is critical in what they do. And Byard and Hooker, they didn't play well this past game in pass coverage. So they're going to – this week, they can't get – I would be surprised if I see man-to-man unless it's, like, obvious – run plays, run down. But beside that, they are not capable or good enough or experienced enough yet at that cornerback position without Fulton to play man-to-man press. And really, they were not that good with Fulton to play press man-to-man. They could play off man-to-man, but even off man-to-man, you got to read it correctly. And these guys, again, they just don't have enough experience. These young guys, they see one move, they're jumping on it. You know, that's how Caleb Farley got beat on a deep route. He gave him a little nod to the outside, running a nine route, just gave him a little stutter nod slightly. And he basically stopped as if he was about to run a comeback. And the guy ran by him. Again, you're putting Caleb Farley in a situation that he is not going to thrive in. Because to me, and this is only me again, he's not a cornerback. You know, Roger McCreary, yes, you can do that, but he's a young guy. You don't want to kill his confidence already. And Fulton, you know, he's a young guy too, but at least he has that experience of a season. But, you know, even for him, he messed up in coverage. So they cannot put these cornerbacks in man-to-man, Willie. They just can't.
Too many big plays for scores. I would start with that because it's one thing to say we don't, or these are tough offenses, we got to give up something. But you can't get carved up and give up explosive plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been the biggest issue with the defense, I think, in the first 2 weeks. Too many big plays they're giving up.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on that. And I think Mike Vrabel, that's going to be his point of emphasis as the week goes on to try and clean some of those things up. You got to get better on third down and converting third downs on offense, but you got to get better in stopping the big play if you're on defense as well. And you know that there are some players on the Raiders that can certainly hurt you with the big plays. Mike Vrabel is going to address the media coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll have that for you here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But you know, I'll ask the question coming up next. Can Vrabel be coach of the year caliber enough again to overcome some of the injuries that is stacking up with this team? We'll continue that conversation. Also, take your texts, your calls on our phone line, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, we talk Loan Pronto. As we've been discussing, they've done a great job for us in the Donick House. We've done some business with them here recently. And so we're doing what I've been telling everybody has been a really good move financially. If you're looking, if you're a homeowner and you are looking to get access for some cash, whether you have bills to pay with college tuition or credit cards or car loans, if you're getting hit hard with the higher costs these days, higher interest rates, if the credit card rate is going up every month, if you want to wipe out those credit cards before the holidays, you can do that. It's time to call Loan Pronto because your home's equity can rescue you right now. There's the HELOC program. That's what we did. Also, there is just the simple refi, the zero-cost cash-out home refi. You can get tens of thousands of dollars in as little as 2 weeks, pay off all those credit cards, and consolidate everything into one super low payment. And people who do this are cutting around $800 from their monthly budget. So if that sounds good to you, your home mortgage rate is probably going to go up a little bit, but it's offset by the fact that those bills are going to be paid, and that rate is going down to zero. No more interest piling up on you. And when the rates come back down, Loan Pronto will refi you again for free. So that is the game plan. Don't wait. Find out more. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. A reminder, you can watch us streaming. We've upgraded with some cameras today. You can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Mike Vrabel's press conference coming up here in just a little bit. You can weigh in at 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Titans making a few things official as with some transactions. They have officially signed defensive back Terrence Mitchell from the New England practice squad and defensive back Andrew Adams from Pittsburgh's practice squad. They have also placed running back Trenton Cannon and defensive back Chris Jackson on injured reserve. So those are the two moves that they have made. And, you know, Chris Jackson was a guy, actually I think both of them, Trenton Cannon and Chris Jackson, didn't make this team, the 53. They were on the practice squad. Chris Jackson has been a pretty good depth piece for this team as a late-round draft pick, but now they've lost two more guys. We don't know an update on Bud Dupree or Taylor Lewan at this point. We'll see if Vrabel will shed any light on that. We know he's very forthcoming when it comes to injuries, so who knows.
But they do have to put an injury report out.
Yeah,
today.
They will. So, I mean, we'll and look, if Lewan's out for the year, I think he'll say that, but – you know, we'll see if we find anything out. But
I would think that if it's something like that, you might have a chance of somebody nationally hitting that by now. If it was going that way, you do see that sometimes. So maybe there's a little bit of cause for optimism. I don't know.
Potentially. But I'll ask this question. Mm-hmm. You already knew you were going to be without Harold Landry for the season. He got hurt in training camp, so he's out. We don't know the extent of Bud Dupree, even though I do believe Vrabel said that he didn't feel like it was super serious, so that's good. If Lewan's lost for the season, there's another key injury. Mm-hmm. You got other guys that are banged up that were starting the season on injured reserve. So they used 91 players last year and were the number one seed in the AFC. I would argue that that team was much better than this team, at least to this point. So can Mike Vrabel, the defending coach of the year, be enough to try and will this team out of this hole, knowing that the injury bug is already coming knocking at their door?
I don't know, because this roster was much different last year.
Yeah, we talked about the roster yesterday.
Yeah, it was much different last year. At least they had some depth last year at certain positions. This year, they don't. You know, they don't have the depth at cornerback that they had last year. They don't have the offensive line depth. They don't have the quarterback depth, just in case somebody, and not to say they had it last year, but okay. This team, compared to last year's team, just doesn't have enough bodies to afford anybody else going down for a significant amount of time. You see the corners, you know, corners are going down. What do? They go out and they sign a safety and a corner. Why? Because they feel that not only don't we have the depth, but we don't have any experience. And the guys that are playing, you know, really haven't shown that they can hold up, you know, for however long we need them to. Caleb Farley, he played 49 plays this past Monday. And didn't do a good job. So I don't know if they're going to be able, if they have another injury at a key spot or Dupree can't play this game, then this team is, they're going to be fighting a real hard and tough uphill battle. That incline is very steep. If Dupree can't play Sunday or if he's out multiple games.
The Titans have also signed offensive tackle Christian DeLauro back to the practice squad. He had been somebody that had been in the camp, in training camp with them this year. So John Robinson making several different roster moves.
Secondary and the offensive line right now, major, major concerns. And that is under the assumption that Bud Dupree is not seriously hurt. Because if he is, then add pass rush to that. It's already a concern. It was from the start without Landry. So you're piling up as the old Floyd Reese-isms. We love to go to those. He says, if I got one position group that I got to fix, that's doable. If I got three, you just don't have enough. You don't have enough to play the shell game there. You know what I mean? Like it's too much. So that's what you worry about. And it's only week two. But everybody's going to have injuries. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just, You've got to have guys who can pick up the rest of the team. Derrick Henry put the team on his back last year before he got hurt. He was keeping them afloat. And
as we've discussed, I don't know if he can do that anymore.
That's a big question. And the other guys, who are the other star guys that can do that for you? You're looking at Byard. You're looking at Simmons. You're looking at – you don't have a receiver that has that ability.
No.
You don't
– not yet. Traylon Burks could be.
Is Dupree is invested in as if he's a star. Mm-hmm. Can he do that? He's played pretty well when he's been in there. You're just looking for answers, right? You got to have guys who can pick up and make up, mask mistakes.
You have more questions. Issues. You have more questions than you do answers right now.
Yeah, they are closer to cratering and being a team that just has to scrap it than a team that is a Super Bowl contender.
It's crazy to say that at 0-2.
It is, but I still feel like winning the division, winning about 10 games is doable, but you're going to be a big underdog in the playoffs, the way it's tracking right now.
This reminds me of the 0-4 team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's just what it reminds me
of. Oh, boy. Or the 0-9. 0-9 is another one.
Another one that got
snowballed
beat up
bad. Yeah.
Well, your roster is just not good enough and experienced enough for frontline guys to go down.
Right, no doubt. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel going to address the media. You will hear that on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.